Welcome back to Glitchcast, episode number 25 this week.
Wow. We're a quarter to 100.
Oh, yeah, we okay. are. Quarter century mark. Beautiful. This week, we're doing a little something different. This is the first time we've ever done this. We're doing a rewatch review.
A little retro rewind.
Yeah. And basically, this was a process. Because there was no good movies that came out because no one wanted to come out around Infinity War.
Yep.
But we obviously already reviewed Infinity War. Listen to the last episode if you haven't yet. And so we had to come up with a couple ideas, but we wanted to do something new. So we came up with a rewatch, and you suggested Speed Racer.
I did. Dude, if you've never seen Speed Racer, it has a soft spot in my heart because the Wachowskis know how to direct action. And aside from all the very, very cringy kiddie stuff and kind of the lovey-cootie stuff, my God, some of the action scenes are really, really cool. And it's got a lot of heart. I still recommend it. But I want to talk about what you recommended, I think to spite me or to troll me. We almost did a dual review of Speed Racer and Scooby-Doo.
Okay. Which I had my reasoning for
Scooby-Doo. Go ahead and defend this.
First off, Scooby-Doo is my favorite cartoon growing up. So I have a soft spot in my heart for Scooby-Doo. The movies are fun enough.
Okay.
But they're also not good, per se. And Speed Racer, also not supposed to be good. I've never seen it.
Right.
And it sounds like maybe you like Speed Racer just because it might hold a soft spot, nostalgic spot in a little bit.
No nostalgia
But
for
just like
it.
From
no.
like when you first saw it.
I think it just took me aback. Whatever, however that term goes. Yeah. I was taken aback by how good the action scenes okay. were. So that's kind of where it comes okay. from. But the cartoon, don't know a damn thing about it.
Anyways, in my mind, I thought, okay, Speed Racer was a cartoon or an anime, and so I tried finding things, and then there was only like anime ones. It's like, well, I don't want to watch like Ghost in the Shell or something like that.
Yeah.
And so I was like, let's go with a funny little cartoon. And so then I came on that, and I still think that you just didn't want to watch Scooby-Doo. So then
that's not the case. I rewatched Speed Racer, and I was like, oh man, some of this stuff is really bad. And if Austin watches this, he's gonna rip it apart. And that's not gonna make for a good discussion because then I'm gonna do the same thing for Scooby-Doo. Hell, it might have made a really good discussion, but
yeah, probably
maybe
would.
We table it. I still would suffer through Scooby-Doo. Then we were gonna do like a classic, like Aliens or Jaws or Back to the Future, which I still think we should do someday. But relevancy wise, we decided to rewatch Deadpool.
Yeah, considering Deadpool comes out 2 weekends from now, Deadpool 2, I should say. So it felt like a good time to rewatch it, especially because
I hadn't seen it again. I watched it once in theaters.
I'd watched it a few times after it like came out streaming.
Did you like watch it or just like put it on?
Nah, just put it on. Yeah. So I've never really sat down and watched it, but there has been some sort of backlash against it in the years following. So it was nice to rewatch it, but we'll get to that later. We have news, a couple trailers. I do want to touch on some other backlash for Infinity War. And then we'll talk about Deadpool and sort of Deadpool 2, and then sort of wrap it up. So
let's do it.
So movie news. Last week, we had MoviePass news about how they switched to no rewatching a movie, so you can't go see a movie twice. And then it was only 4 movies a month plan.
Yeah.
People weren't too thrilled, and MoviePass backtracked, and they're back to offering their movie a day monthly plan, which... Yeah,
I can only imagine like less than 1% of people are really trashing this thing and like going every other day and going to 20 movies a month. But hey, that 1% is probably hurting them a little bit.
Exactly. But even then, like, I mean, if you or I go see 2 movies a month, they're still losing a lot of money on us.
Yeah, that's true.
So,
I mean, they are banking on us treating it like the New Year's Day gym membership that we forget about, and that's not happening.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, we love MoviePass, and I hope it never goes away at this point. Just one of the theaters needs to kind of deal with them.
I've just accepted it's going away, and like, I just want every day to be a praise be day where MoviePass is still around.
All right, next up, Amy Adams is going to star in a psychological thriller called Woman in the Window from director Joe Wright, who directed The Darkest Hour, the Gary Oldman, Winston Churchill movie from last year, and Atonement. This is based on a best-selling novel. Basically, it's like it sounds like almost like a Girl on the Train kind of movie with that like Emily Blunt was in, Justin Theroux, our boy.
I've heard the book was really good of that movie, but the movie was trash.
Yeah. Screenplay adaptation is by Tracy Letts, Carrie Coon's husband. Fun fact.
Also, they live in my neighborhood, Carrie Coon and that
guy.
Oh,
really?
They live in Bucktown, yeah.
Oh, very nice. Woman in the Window novel portrays a young woman, Anna Fox, who lives a reclusive life in her New York City home, often spying on her neighbors, only to one night witness a crime she shouldn't have, which turns her life upside down. So it's like the classic Hitchcock movie, Rear Window. It's like Disturbia, Girl on the Train. Basically, the story, I feel like, has been done a lot. But, I mean, if it was a best-selling novel, it has to be somewhat decent. And I like these kind of movies. I like these sort of psychological thriller, like, with, like, the female in the lead kind of thing. Like, I love Gone Girl. I love Sharp Objects, all that stuff, which actually Amy Adams is going to be in that Gillian Flynn Sharp Objects adaptation for HBO. But I'm pretty interested in this. I think Joe Wright as the director is... I mean, a dude that only
really
makes World War II
Darkest
movies.
Hour.
So.
I really like. Yeah, when I looked up his directorography, I was like, oh, he just makes a bunch of boring movies.
Yes.
But I really did enjoy The Darkest Hour. So, yeah, this sounds awesome.
Well, next up, Hasbro has acquired Power Rangers and other entertainment assets for $522 million. So the Power Rangers movie came out under Saban.
It might be Saban.
But Hasbro has it now. Hasbro is trying to put out like toy adaptations and stuff.
Yes,
like they obviously have like Transformers.
Yes,
but I think they're doing like a My Little Pony movie. They're doing Clue. I don't know.
They're
Clue
trying to build that toy CU, toy cinematic universe.
But I don't think Power Rangers was supposed to get a sequel. I don't think it performed well enough, but I thought it kind of deserved a sequel. I didn't mind it.
I mean, they set it up for one.
Yeah.
They held back on what everybody wants to see, which is the Green Ranger, White Ranger arc, and they teased it at the end, spoilers, whatever. I really do want to see a sequel, because obviously Green Ranger, my fave. And let's see if we can get a Power Ranger Transformers crossover, get some Zords versus Megatron or something.
That'd be interesting. Or just start making Transformers movies.
Yeah, please stop. Or just get a new director like you promised 8 years ago. I really enjoyed Power Rangers 1. I thought it was a lot of, I'm a teenager. All of these problems matter so much. It touched on the nostalgia bone. It was fine. It could have been so much worse.
Oh, and 100%.
It was fine. Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah. I even thought like the high school stuff, like it worked for what it was. Yeah. Like the movie didn't take itself too seriously that I was like rolling my eyes at them trying to like make it as serious, but it worked.
I'd love to see a sequel.
Yeah. Next up, Taron Egerton, who plays Eggsy in Kingsman, and is the new Robin Hood, which we'll get to in a little bit here, says the upcoming Elton John film, Rocket Man, in which he is portraying Elton John, is a fantasy musical, not a biopic.
When I think fantasy musical, I think like La La Land. Is it going to be like other like that?
I feel like it isn't.
Mean?
I feel like it's going to be even more outlandish. Just based on like what Elton John is like and like his appearances in Kingsman and just like how eccentric he is, I feel like it won't be like a classical kind of musical like that. I feel like it's going to be like
more wacky and out
some
of this
sort of
world.
Like weird story that somehow Elton John gets wrapped up in, and then it's like that weird stuff.
Good casting. And do we know any like the talent behind the directing or writing?
I know Matthew Vaughn is producing,
really?
But I don't know if he is directing. I don't believe he is.
And then we've got the Queen biopic coming soon as well.
Oh, you know what? Coincidentally, Dexter Fletcher, who directed the Queen biopic, is directing this.
Oh, wow. Talk about getting typecasted.
Yeah, there you go.
Fantasy musical. We'll see what the hell that means.
Sounds interesting.
If anybody who watches musicals knows what a fantasy musical is, hit us up. Because that's not our... We're not the target audience, really.
Next up, John Cena has replaced Dwayne The Rock Johnson as the lead in the Janssen Directive. I can only assume this is because The Rock has so much going on. Mm-hmm. But basically, this is an adaptation of a... book called The Janssen Directive, which I think is a series of books, actually. Johnson is still producing, but, you know, they got their other meaty former wrestler.
They're
Robert
like
Ludlum.
Interchangeable.
Is, yeah, Robert Slayers. Ludlum is actually the guy that wrote the Bourne Identity novel.
Okay.
So that's the guy that wrote this. Cool. But this is just about a former covert agent Jansen. What a name. Oh, Paul Jansen. I thought his first name was Jansen, which would have been perfect. Yeah. Basically, a billionaire philanthropist gets kidnapped by a terrorist known as the Caliph. Caliph? Caliph? Something like that. Jansen's rescue operation goes wrong, and then he is basically marked for death. So basically every single Mission Impossible plot of a mission going wrong, and now he's pursued by a young agent of astonishing ability.
So it's an action comedy, and I actually think John Cena's funnier than Dwayne Johnson.
I don't know if it's supposed to be a comedy.
It says action comedy in the headline.
Does it really?
It does.
Weird. It does not sound like a comedy. It sounds more serious than I would expect. And I feel like that might be why The Rock left as well, on top of just having a packed schedule, because The Rock isn't really in serious movies.
But neither is John Cena.
He's much more family-friendly stuff. But Cena has, I mean, at the very least, Cena did The Wall.
I didn't see that.
That was a serious movie. But I don't think The Rock has ever done, like, an actual serious movie.
Yeah, The Rock's bringing families in.
And I feel like this could potentially be rated R. Maybe that's why.
Interesting.
But I just don't know. I don't know John Cena's acting chops. I saw Blockers, and it's pretty good. John Cena's pretty funny, but he just doesn't have the acting perfectly down.
Did you see The Wall?
No, I did not see The Wall.
We'll have to watch that one to get in any gleam of his serious acting.
Next up, Ryan Reynolds has confirmed that T.J. Miller will not return for the X-Force film. He is in the Deadpool 2 movie coming out here, as you can probably tell by all the marketing and advertising. But basically, T.J. Miller has had quite the rough year.
Let's talk about this. The first thing was an allegation of sexual assault in college, I think.
Yeah, that popped up back in, like, when the Harvey Weinstein stuff was first coming out.
And that was quickly shot down by him and his girlfriend or wife or whatever.
Yep.
And then recently, he's, like, calling in bomb threats and stuff?
He called in a bomb threat with some woman that he got in an argument with on a train because he was essentially belligerent. He was just drunk.
Right.
And so he called, and then he, like, she got on another train, and then they just got him when he got off because she didn't have a bomb or anything.
I feel like
there's
been some other headlines, too. But yeah, this guy went from one of the best comedies on HBO to Gone to basically a great superhero movie, Gone.
He imploded. He had a burst vein or something in his brain.
Okay.
And they had to remove it. It's in, like, the frontal cortex or something, and apparently it's, like, where, like, the impulse control is.
Oh,
so
Jesus.
Some people sympathize with it, or empathize, whichever one it is, with him a little bit, just because he might be lacking that impulse control, and so he's not, like, realizing full force what he's doing. Granted, he was already a dick as it was, and I think that's why he was so good in the roles that he was in.
I'm going to imagine that impulse control, lack thereof, is what led him to do the Emoji movie as well. Because I can tie this entire downward spiral to that movie.
And he did leave Silicon Valley voluntarily.
Yeah,
like, that was
so they say.
He didn't even
so
get
they
fired.
Say.
Oh, well, all right. Well, we'll see. We'll see. But yeah, I guess he won't be returning. It doesn't feel like he's like a pivotal. He would be pivotal.
I think
in
he's hilarious.
Film anyways.
I mean, he was really funny in Deadpool, the first one, which we'll talk about very shortly, and I'm sure he'll be funny in 2. But I think it's just timing wise makes sense.
Yeah. Next up, Sylvester Stallone is going to take on a Mexican cartel in Rambo 5. He may also direct. Why are these movies? Why is this being?
Do you
made?
Care?
No.
I don't either. I feel like he's already taken on like 9 Mexican cartels. Is this just an area of cartels that he hasn't taken on yet?
I don't think I've ever seen a Rambo movie, actually.
They're fine. I mean, I can't define any plot points of them besides just him shooting. I think the latest one he did was super serious and had to do with like sex slavery and stuff.
I think the ship has sailed on old men being badasses.
Liam Neeson ran it to the ground.
Yeah.
He's the king of that one.
And I don't quite know if anyone's really clamoring for some Sylvester Stallone action. Yeah, he was good in Creed, but he wasn't
the lead. Yeah. He was the main. I look at get beat up or mangled or nothing. I mean, I have no excitement for
none
this
at all. None at all. We'll see if it even gets. It feels like it's something that like will end up not getting made.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Like, next up, John Wick Chapter 3. An actual action movie that deserves a sequel has received a working title of Parabellum, and this word is a Latin word, and means prepare for war, which, you know, is indicative and representative of the ending of John Wick Chapter 2, where basically he broke the rules, he killed someone in the Continental in the hotel, which you're not allowed to do, and now the whole world is after him, essentially, the world of the assassins, so...
I'm really pumped for this, clearly. I was John Wick for Halloween. I liked one better. I thought two was just like, holy crap, this guy's kill count is unbelievable. He's basically Neo from the Matrix. Wait, he was Neo from the Matrix. Excited for this, absolutely.
Yeah, I'm very pumped. I'm also excited. I'm also excited for the Continental show that's going to be on Stars.
Wait, they're making a show about the hotel?
Yeah.
Oh, I heard that news, that's right.
Feels like it could be cool. Could be like a cool kind of like anthology type thing.
Get him like a cool cameo like once a season or so. Ooh, that'd be awesome.
Yeah. Next up, Avengers Infinity War, which set the record for opening weekend gross at the box office, has now grossed over $1 billion in record time. It has $1.164 billion worldwide in just 12 days.
And I think this article is a couple days old, so
yeah,
it is.
Yeah, so it's probably even more.
Way bigger now. This is one day old, so whew. We've contributed to that. I saw it twice.
I saw it twice as well. Yeah,
you got the round two.
Have a story about the second time I went.
Go for it.
So
no spoilers though.
No spoilers. It's about the theater experience.
Okay.
So I got a ticket for last Tuesday afternoon right out of work, just so I could get in there and I wouldn't have to worry about like trying to find a seat or like being like stuck in a crappy spot or something. And so I got there, I had my spot, I picked my spot. There was basically an entire empty row, and I picked my spot right at the end of the row, no one near me for five seats. I'm sitting there, preview start, the lights were still on, because I think they were thinking people were going to filter in, and this very large, slightly older man turns like towards the stairs, and I lock eyes with him, and I'm just like... It's going to happen, isn't it? He's going to sit next to me, which is fine. I'm fine with people are sitting next to me, but I see that he's carrying a hot dog.
Oh, God.
And he's breathing super loud, super heavy. And basically, he's walking super slow, which just means he's going to be out of breath when he gets to where we are. I'm about halfway up. Comes in, walks past. I think he might go like in further because you can go in further towards the middle. And that's sort of like why I picked a further seat out.
Yeah.
No, right next to me.
That's... so awkward.
Right. Well, it was like, not... it's assigned seats.
But still.
But still, like, the previews were starting. No one else was coming in. And
oh
so he
goodness.
Sits down next to me. And I'm like, well, it's kind of, like, mean if I get up and move.
No,
to, like,
it's not. It's pitch
seats.
Black. Get out of there. What's he going to do, chase you?
No, definitely not. But basically, then he started eating this hot dog, like, 10 minutes into the movie. Yep, that. He's, like, licking his lips and licking his gums before and after every bite. And then, like, 10 minutes after his final bite, he just smells like old man and mustard. And it's just, like,
just, like,
so
burping,
tough for
like
me to watch.
Like, he's sweating
this movie.
It out.
Yeah, oh, it was God. It was the worst theater experience of my life. And I liked the movie less the second time.
Oh, no.
But I think it's only because of that, dude.
Oh, dude, you got to just get up and move.
Yeah, I'm going to have to do that next time. I thought about just, like, leaving the theater. I was just like, I can't do this. It was just, like, the smell had wafted in my brain. It was just, like, in my body.
Without that influence, I can safely say that I enjoyed Infinity War just as much the second time. Yeah, I think you were influenced by that.
Yeah, 100%. Last movie news story of the week. Pitbull has made his film composing debut with a John Travolta movie called Gotti about, I think, like, a famous mob boss.
John Gotti, yep.
Yep.
Shit, I didn't watch the trailer, did you?
I had watched a trailer, like, 6 months ago. Maybe
oh, really?
Longer. And I thought it was supposed to come out, but maybe it didn't. Because this does not sound like a movie that should be coming out. John Travolta and then Pitbull composing.
Why is Pitbull... First of all, John Travolta... Didn't we... I tweeted out a headline on a glitch up. Twitter that was like a Fred Durst directed mm-hmm. movie called Moose starring mm-hmm. John Travolta mm-hmm. is coming out. Why is John Travolta starring in movies directed by Pitbull and Fred Durst from Limp Bizkit? What is he doing?
Not directed by Pitbull, composed by Pitbull.
Ah, well, I hate Pitbull, so I'll be avoiding this.
Just a mob hit, and you just hear worldwide in the back. Yeah. Dale.
It's a Dale.
Well, I can't wait to see this movie.
Terrible.
That's it for movie news. Couple TV news stories. Westworld has been renewed for season 3 already, and Handmaid's Tale has also been renewed for a season 3.
Both of these are like, duh. Especially Westworld. Mm-hmm. Have you been watching the season?
I have not watched the season yet.
Good thing we didn't make the topic Westworld theories of season 2 so far.
Yeah, I would have caught up. I would have caught up.
I haven't even watched Handmaid's Tale yet. I'm just kind of letting it build. So I can have one really hungover Sunday where I just watch it and get super depressed with how dark it is.
It doesn't feel like a good hangover show to watch.
It's just like one where you already have the Sunday scares, you're dreading Monday, and you just let it enfold you. But Westworld's been really good this season. You should get a watch.
Yeah, I'll hop on.
Because there are stakes now.
Yeah, thank God, and that's all I wanted. Mm-hmm. That was my main complaint. Last news story of the week. A Swamp Thing TV series is in the works at the DC streaming service, newly called DC Universe.
Which is what their universe should be called.
Yeah, you'd think.
But it's something else now, I think.
So this was following a months-long deal-making process, where I guess they were just going back and forth on it, but it's finally being put into development as a TV series. This is going to be written by a Battlestar Galacta and Daredevil writer,
okay,
Mark Verheiden, and Gary Dauberman, who wrote It and its upcoming sequel. So basically they're co-writing the pilot script, I guess. They keep referring to it as just a script, but this is a series. James Wan is attached as an executive producer, and it feels like he'll probably just direct the pilot, would make the most sense. The drama is following what happens when a CDC researcher, Abby Arcane, returns to her childhood home in Louisiana in order to investigate a deadly swamp-borne virus. There she develops a surprising bond with a scientist, only to have him tragically taken from her, but his powerful forces descend upon this town, intent on exploiting the swamp's mysterious properties for their own purposes. Abby will discover that the swamp holds mystical secrets, both horrifying and wondrous, and the potential love of her life may not be gone after all. So I'm assuming her love is the Swamp Thing. I thought the Swamp Thing was, like, the creature of the Black Lagoon.
Me too. I thought they were the same. I thought the Swamp Thing was in the monster. Or I'm sorry, the Dark Universe. I didn't know he was DC. As we've proclaimed many times on the show, we are not comic book experts. If this is going to be like the Flareoverse type quality, I think we'll skip it probably, right?
Yeah. Also, I'm not paying for a DC streaming service.
Right. And neither of us pirates. So what are we going to do?
James Wan, though, seems pretty excited. And he said that he's pumped to do like a gothic romance series. So maybe in the vein of like some sort of Shape of Water style kind of thing.
Or like Crimson Peak.
Yes.
I never saw.
Yeah. Crimson Peak was all right. I don't think James Wan has quite the eye that Del Toro has, but no. I still think Juan's pretty adequate, and I mean, I like Gary Dauberman. He's done pretty well with It, so
yeah.
All right, I don't even know. Yeah, I guess. Well, I guess
let it build up and see if it makes it past season one. If the Orville can make it past season one, so can this. And I believe I owe you a watch of season
you do.
One
you
of the
have
Orville.
To watch season one of the Orville. That is it for news this week. We got three quick trailers to talk about: Ant-Man and the Wasp, second trailer, but more of a full-length trailer here, came out last week. Get a little bit more background. We see the villain, and we get Quantum Realm mentioned like three times. Of course we will. I was surprised, though, to be honest. I thought this movie was going to be more important in the grand scheme of things, but it feels much more self-contained.
Yeah, and it feels like it's before Infinity War. Which I think, trying not to cross over to say anything to ruin it, but I think it has to.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that was kind of the expectation anyways, or people thought that it would take whatever, like coinciding with Infinity War or something.
Well,
but
I think I read something that said that Ant-Man is going to be paramount to Infinity War or the second Infinity War, which now I can see why if we're talking about Quantum Realm and where he will play a part in the next one. But I thought it looked good. There's an ant. There's a giant ant playing drums.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. I'm that was a wild image.
Yeah, what do you think
see.
That is? A dream?
I have no idea, or just Paul Rudd showing how good he is now at getting the ants to do stuff.
Oh, maybe. Yeah.
I don't know.
You get to see Morpheus, who I think was a superhero.
Goliath. He was Goliath, so he could grow.
But he couldn't shrink?
He could not shrink, no.
Did he have a suit?
I would assume so. Basically, the final joke in the trailer is Paul Rudd and Lawrence Fishburne talking about how big they could grow.
Yeah. funny.
Yeah. But I'm excited for this. I like Evangeline Lilly, so it's nice to basically have her as a co-lead in this.
And let's just say we're going to need something a little more lighthearted after Infinity War.
That is true. That is true. Next up, Robin Hood, which is clearly not supposed to be lighthearted, I guess, because they're dubbing it a gritty reboot. I believe this is actually called Robin Hood Origins.
Cool.
So this stars Taron Egerton, Jamie Foxx, Jamie Dornan, Ben Mendelsohn, because Ben Mendelsohn has to be the bad guy in every big movie now. What did you think about? What do you think about
this? So Jamie Dornan, is he the 50 Shades guy?
Yes, he is the 50 Shades guy. I don't think
I recognized him in the trailer. Yep. Dude, this looks awful. Like, it looks like something I've already seen 5 years ago. But, like, it was with Orlando Bloom and some other dude. Didn't they redo, like, Three Musketeers exactly like this?
Yes, they did. They also did a Robin Hood movie with Russell Crowe.
Right, which I remember.
10 years ago, which was also, like, a gritty... I think it was Ridley Scott that made it.
And before that, wasn't it, like, Kevin Costner or something? Like, 10 years before that?
Yeah.
Why do they keep trying to make Robin Hood happen? It's just, like, no one gets excited about, like, Hawkeye. Like, we're seeing movies like Infinity War. Nobody cares about a guy who shoots arrows. I don't know. This looked pretty bad. Go ahead.
They also just completely missed, like, the whole Origins time frame when, like, making Origin stories was, like, cool. For, like, the 2 years that everyone put out Origin stories, it's like, now no one wants an Origin story, even if it's a superhero movie. We just want, like, getting dropped into it with some, like, backstory a little bit.
Yeah, give me a five-minute prologue and just drop me into the action.
Yeah. We know how Robin Hood came about. We've been reading and watching him for forever.
Right. And when the final title came and it was just like gray steel Robin Hood and the most generic font I've ever seen, I was just like, this looks so boring.
It didn't match the tone of the movie at all.
The tone was all over the place, first of all, but it looked like the font for, like, Real Steel, fighting robots movie with huge jacked man.
So dumb.
Give me a 30% on Rotten Tomatoes for this one.
Ooh, wow. I was going to go 22.
Okay. I think Aaron Edgerton has a little bit of charm and can charm his way up to 30 plus, maybe.
Fair enough.
Of the movie looks trash.
All right, then last trailer this week is for Arrested Development Season 5. They actually just re-released Season 4. They recut it and put it out on Netflix. I heard it's still kind of a mess.
I heard from people I trust, Pat from Glitch Up, that it's really good. They shaved, I think, 8 minutes per episode, because I think the other ones were 30, and they made it more episodes, and they kind of aligned everybody's arcs to make it more chronological and bring people together instead of jumping all over the place, which that was everybody's biggest complaint in Season 4.
Yeah.
I've heard it's okay.
But Season 5 is coming out on May 29th, I believe, so end of the month pretty here. I think it looks pretty funny. I'm happy about it. They also even little tongue-in-cheek, a little meta-action talking about how everyone's back together.
Yeah, the biggest complaint is the entire cast was never in the same room, and that's the best part of 1 through 3. And I don't know about you, but they fixed everyone's face. Everybody looks so weird in Season 4, especially Lindsay, Michael Cera a little bit. I think everybody looks back to normal.
Yeah,
I don't know what it is. Maybe some prosthetics. No, I'm really excited for this. If I have time, I'll try and watch Season 4, that recut. But definitely be giving this a shot.
Definitely. All right, so that is it for trailers this week. Quickly, spoiler alert, if you haven't seen Avengers Infinity War, skip ahead. I will put in the timestamp. You can see the timestamp in the description. I'll add in a little bit, little voice over here, tell you when to skip to. But I want to talk about the Avengers backlash a little bit.
Let me repeat, spoiler alert for Infinity War. Skip ahead a couple minutes. We'll put it in the show notes. Spoiler alert, Infinity War, starting now.
What is everyone's problem?
What's the backlash? I haven't heard any backlash.
So everyone is saying, like, everyone's coming at the ending and saying, like you can't enjoy the movie because there's no stakes and, like, all this stuff. But then, like, half of it is, like, they're applauding it for, like, being able to balance all these different characters and storylines that clearly have, like, a future. So, like, they're really, like, adept at giving each person the fair amount of time, like the old guard, and then the people that we know are getting movies. They applaud that, but then they say, like, oh, because we know that there's sequel scheduled, we can't get invested in this movie at all. And it's like, first off, you don't know 100% what's going to happen. Right. Like, we can guess.
Well, even James Gunn has said Guardians 3 is going... He literally said it's going to be less about Peter Quill. So maybe he won't be even in it at all. Maybe he's really dead. Like you said in the last episode, maybe Spider-Man is set before Infinity War or is a side story like that. Mm-hmm. So a lot of these deaths really could stick. People just like to think they know. They don't know shit. Yeah. And yeah. I walked out of the theater kind of thinking the same thing, like, oh, Black Panther will be back. But we still don't know. And what did you want them to do? Not kill anybody? Not provide, like, deaths?
Exactly. And even so, if you see... There's people that applaud whatever historical adaptations or movies about certain parts of history. And it's like, we know what's going to happen at the end of that.
Yeah,
yet true. We still get invested in those movies.
Right.
So yeah. Why can't you get invested in this if you're still predicting something? You're not even predicting something that's going to that happened in this movie. You're predicting something that hasn't even happened yet that is in another movie. Like,
and that's... Yeah.
Stick with it. Like, view it in the lens of the one movie. Like, I understand it's essentially, a cliffhanger in a way. But, like, you can't have it both ways. And, like, and then there's people that, like, they want to applaud it for being TV-like. But then there's also people that are, like, those same people are, like, oh, these movies should be movies and not TV-like. It's like, okay, so you want to applaud it at times for being TV-like, but then you get mad that it has a cliffhanger ending?
What do they mean by TV-like?
It's episodic. Mm. So, like...
Oh, yeah.
Like, we get, like, sort of, like, it's more like an anthology kind of series, but you sort of get these crossovers and stuff and, like, interrelated storylines between
them. Nerd's gonna complain. What are you gonna do?
So stupid.
I thought it was very emotionally impactful, almost as much the second time. Even though I knew they're not killing the people that just made billions, Black Panther, like... Yeah. I know he's going to be back, but it still was tough to watch, and there still are questions. There are people who actually aren't coming back, and you know what's coming in the next movie. Mm-hmm. That old guard is going, so whatever.
Yeah. Oh, man. Okay. So, now that that's done, time to talk about Deadpool.
Deadpool 1, rewatched. Deadpool. How was rewatch? How was rewatch for you?
Rewatch. Before we get to what we actually thought, let's sort of talk about the history behind Deadpool. So Deadpool had this weird long history. I believe it was back in 2004 when, like, a script was first written, and there's sort of, like, some stuff going around, because I guess Ryan Reynolds has always been a fan, and he's basically always been attached, which is actually, like, it's just amazing, because he's, like, the most perfect person for this character.
Could not have cast it better.
Yeah. And so he sort of tried starting to get interest, and this was right around, like, when the X-Men movies were big and the Spider-Man movies were big, so it was like, oh, sweet. And so Fox said, okay, maybe, like, we'll kick it around a little bit. There were a couple directors attached that kept leaving, and then Fox was essentially just wasn't happy with the way that the script was going, so that's when they decided to put him in an X-Men Origins Wolverine, which, as we know, was a total failure.
And was Ryan Reynolds.
Except nowhere close to this iteration that we see now. It was essentially not even a Deadpool character. Yeah. It was just like this weird mutant that couldn't talk, which is weird.
The best part of Deadpool is what he says.
Yeah. And so they put him in that, and then it completely failed. And so then they were like, we don't think he's going to work. And it was like, well, that was your decision to make Deadpool like that.
Yeah.
And so then they gave him, so then in 2009 or 2011, Tim Miller came on. Tim Miller was the director for Deadpool. He was like the founder of Blur Studios, who does a bunch of CGI and stuff. And he had done some apparently like really cool like video game trailers or something like that. And so they basically were like, we'll give you like low six figures to make some test footage. And so he went back to his CGI company, made some test footage. Ryan Reynolds lended his voice, and they showed it to Fox. And Fox was like, we don't know if we want to put money into this. Like Avengers had just come out. And so they were like, we think it'd be better to introduce him in like a team up movie. And it was like, well, you kind of already tried that, and you butchered it.
You did it wrong.
So two years go by. 2014 comes around, and Ryan Reynolds and Tim Miller are like, you know what? Screw this. If you guys aren't going to give us any traction, they had hired the writers. The writers had written, obviously, the really good script, and they leaked the test footage, and fans went crazy.
Bonkers. I remember seeing it, and I was like, that looks awesome! Unlike anything I've ever seen.
Yeah, and basically, Fox had no choice but to throw some money at it and let it happen, and so they did. And it's not like they threw a ton of money at it. I think it was maybe like $50 million would be my guess. But it wasn't like a $100 million movie or anything like that. And so it's an R-rated movie, like the first superhero R-rated movie to come out. So huge risk, comes out, huge success. It's the biggest R-rated movie of all time, I think. Had the biggest R-rated opening of all time. Releasing in February, too, over like Valentine's Day weekend. Yeah. It had like some of the most ingenious marketing. Just sort of like, and Ryan Reynolds was like full force behind in the marketing, constantly there for everything. They had like a great social media team.
Wasn't the first poster just like two guns over his wiener? Just like so lewd. And I'm so glad Fox went all in on it.
Yeah.
Just so that they're like, we're going to try this. And if it fails, it fails. But if it, you know, this is a huge high risk, high reward.
Yeah, and so they made a boatload of money, and that actually led to them letting the Logan movie happen, which was R-rated, and basically now we're here, and there's a lot more hope. This is how we're like getting like a potential horror superhero movie and like all this other stuff. So thank God for Ryan Reynolds. Thank God for Tim Miller. Thank you, Fox, I guess.
We don't say say that a lot. They were just following the money.
Yeah. All right, so that's the backstory. But how was the actual movie? When it first came out, I loved it. I thought it was outstanding. I was so surprised by how good it was.
And I went with a couple people who don't usually see superhero movies, weren't really into it, but know Ryan Reynolds is hilarious. And it just perfectly resonated when he said, hold up, you're probably thinking, my boyfriend said this was a superhero movie and there'd be a love story. Well, it's very bloody. Why is it so bloody? Why did I make this guy a shish kebab? And it was just so perfect because people next to me were probably thinking, holy shit, this is violent and just lewd. But it really did turn out to be a really good love story and a great action movie. Absolutely hysterical. And we all walked away having a blast.
Yeah. It is actually funny. I like rewatching it. I never really realized like how obviously like the love story is like the motivating factor in it, but I didn't really realize like how more of like integral it is like in the story weaving throughout. It's kind of like the baseline for the story is like how that love story is going.
I mean, yeah, he says it in the movie. This is a love story.
Yeah.
And I think it is. I think their chemistry is great. She's awesome in the movie. And it all revolves around him getting back to her and you know, getting vengeance.
Yeah, and Tim Miller, having that CGI background, oh my god, is the CGI in this movie so good. The opening
scene... What they did with the budget is incredible.
Oh my god, the opening scene is just mind-boggling how great it looks.
Yeah, and I wanted to talk about like the storytelling aspect too, of how that opening scene is kind of... It freeze frames for 20 minutes, and then he jumps back, and then it moves forward again, and then freeze frames again, and tells the story a little bit more. It was a little jumpy, but I think it really worked in just giving you a good idea on who this character was. You've never, like, kind of casual comic book movie, superhero movie fans have never seen anything like this, and it was a good way to kind of introduce him, I think.
Yeah, and if we really want to get artsy-fartsy thinking about it, about the storytelling, time jumping back and forth kind of thing... In a way, it's also reflective of the Deadpool character because it's erratic and all over the place. So, boom, there you go. That's how it works out. But yeah, no, it is constantly fun. There is no moment in this movie where like I was like, come on.
There really is no act or 10-minute segment where I'm like, this is dragging. I'm cracking up every 5 minutes, or you got a sweet action scene that shouldn't look as good as it does because the movie had such a low budget.
Yeah. And it's also nice and tight too. I think it's like an hour, 40 minutes or something, which is like the sweet spot. Like usually a lot of superhero movies are like 2 hours plus.
2:30, 2:40. Yeah.
And this is right in like the perfect sweet spot for like how long a comedy should be, how long like just like any sort of like more, I don't even know, like low budget kind of movie should be. And they really just nailed it right there.
How much of a question about CG? Do you know how much of him was CG? Was that him in the suit with like a suit on with like wide eyes, or was that most of that CG?
He wore the actual suit. I think he makes a joke about it in the movie about how he doesn't want the suit to be CGI or green because of the Green Lantern whole thing.
Green Lantern.
So they actually made this suit, and I think he wears it the entire time. Or like,
and that's him in there, not being some stunt double.
I'm pretty sure it's him. I'm sure there's like obviously some stunt doubles and stuff, but
well, if that's the case, they really did a good job blending him in the suit and him CG in the suit when he's flipping around and stuff.
There's actually just doing baseline research today on Wikipedia. they had a couple before and after images from the CGI from no CGI to CGI. And it's from when Colossus is dragging him on, like, the highway, like, handcuffed to his arm.
Yeah.
And basically, Colossus is this gigantic dude just wearing, like, this, like, gray tracking suit. And then it's, whatever, the girl playing Teenage Warhead. And then Ryan Reynolds in the Deadpool suit being dragged along on this highway. And it's a highway, and they have some of it set up. But then you see, like, there's, like, a big stadium in the background, and there's, like... there's not as many cars, but then they switch it to the CGI, and like the stadium's gone, and instead it's like a city line, and there's like all these tall buildings, and there's like all these wrecked cars, and it just looks absolutely incredible how they did that.
So really, really CG heavy film, not a lot of budget to go around, and it's turned out great. There are a couple scenes where the budget shows, but what's funny is they break the fourth wall and they literally joke about it.
Yeah.
Quick note: we are going to spoil everything about this film, so stop listening if you haven't seen it. But he literally mentions, hey, I only see two of you X-Men on the screen at every time. Do we just not have the budget to get more of you guys? Really funny stuff.
I think one of the biggest criticisms of the movie that I've seen is that it's a very meta fourth wall breaking movie that's its whole shtick. And basically the entire time is they're trying to subvert some of these superhero tropes and just make fun of them. But then it kind of falls into like a typical story at the end.
Yeah.
And people are like, oh, well, like, that's dumb. I was like, I don't think it ruins the movie. Like, it doesn't ruin the prior jokes just because they kind of fell into like an ending action scene. Like, what are you going to do? Are you just going to like have him shoot the bad guy at the end? And that's going
to
be
and
it.
And then like an ice skating number instead to really subvert expectations. No, there still has to be a third act set piece where he saves the girl. And he said it in the first act. This is a love story. I thought it was fine.
Yeah. The only other thing really for me is, obviously this is going to happen on any rewatch of like any comedy movie. Some jokes kind of fail a little bit more on rewatch. And you kind of take notice of how immature and
juvenile.
Sort of, some of the jokes are. That, like, I probably laughed at the first time because it was just so surprising to like see those kind of jokes. But they're still really good, deeper level jokes that you don't really like a 12-year-old would catch or something.
Yeah, and there's stuff people say like under their breath. There's things that you really have to listen to catch that are really funny. There's reoccurring things that come back. There's a plug at the first iteration of Deadpool in the movie as a little action figure.
Yeah,
TJ Miller I thought was really funny in it. The grandma, his roommate grandma, is so funny. The fact that she spends all day building IKEA set pieces and they argue back and forth on like which model of IKEA stuff is better. Like, what is she doing? It's hard enough for three adults with perfect eyesight to build an IKEA thing, let alone her. Jesus Christ.
That scene where he comes back after chopping off his own hand and he just walks in and she's like trying to build it and he's laying on there. Doesn't even take notice, doesn't even mention anything. He's just goes, "How's the Cunin coming along?" Oh man, and everyone has great chemistry in this movie. Obviously, like him and Marina Baccarin, I believe her name is.
Yep, you got it.
Have exquisite chemistry, but everyone else like really just works off really well off of each other, and it really helps to have Ryan Reynolds there doing that. So,
what did you think? I thought this was the weakest spot for me. Just the villain. He was kind of one note and boring. Not much to him. He can't feel pain and has no empathy, I believe, and has super fast reflexes, and his motivation is that he likes hurting people.
Yeah, the villain.
And works for a corporation that pays him money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, pretty much. I think
can't empathize with him.
Yeah.
I don't know. He was pretty weak. But.
Yeah, the villain isn't that great, and I didn't even like the sidekick villain. Although they did good to limit the amount of talking she does. Gina Carano, former whatever.
I looked up her name. Hold on.
She was in a Steven Soderbergh movie, Haywire.
It sucked. I hated it.
But she, I don't know if she was an MMA fighter or if
she's an
wrestler.
MMA fighter, and she also fought. Who's the girl that I hate that's such a badass in the Fast and Furious films?
Michelle Rodriguez.
She fought Michelle Rodriguez in one of the Fast and Furious films, which that was a good fight. She actually brought it
there.
Was it
her or was it Ronda Rousey? I thought Ronda Rousey was in...
It was both.
Oh, my God.
She's fought Ronda Rousey and Gina Carano. Okay. Her name in the movie is Angel Dust.
Yep.
I love that her boob pops out and Colossus is like, oh, your breast.
Oh man. Yeah.
Dopinder, the cab driver, pretty funny stuff.
Yeah.
He was good. He looks like he's back for Deadpool 2.
Mm-hmm. I hope they don't run him into the ground based on like how good he was in the first one.
That's, keep it light.
That's one worry that I have.
Yeah.
I like him more
Negasonic,
as an ancillary character.
Teenage Warhead, I thought was really good too.
Oh yeah, she's awesome.
Another non-tropey, some sort of superhero you haven't really seen.
Mm-hmm.
The Sinead O'Connor jokes, the I don't think TJ Miller says this to her, but at some point he says, have fun at the premiere of Blade 2 to somebody who's dressed like in
Yo,
all dark.
He says it to the villains when they walk into the bar.
So good.
Yeah.
So good.
Oh, man.
I liked the fourth wall break where he literally talks about Colossus says, we're taking you to the professor. You will come talk to Professor Xavier. And then he says, Stewart or McAvoy? This whole alternate universe thing gets really confusing.
Yeah. Yeah, cool. I think almost every single like fourth wall break was pretty funny to me.
Fourth wall break inside of a fourth wall break. That's like 16 breaks. I can't remember what he said, but yeah, that was good too.
Yeah. I also love how they forget the bag of guns that they like spend 2 minutes setting up. Yeah. And then... like basically the reason that they did that is because they didn't have a big enough budget to like have all that, and so they just turned it into a joke, which is genius.
Perfect.
Yeah,
I think the bad CG comes at the end, that third act with the boat falling down, and actually the final scene where they pull away with him and her, like making out, that looked pretty bad.
Yeah,
must have been at the end of their rope there, the end of their funds.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't really have much more to say about it. I mean, I think it still holds up, and I think it's still pretty damn good.
Yeah. I wanted to touch on, I really liked how realistic Monica Baccarin or whatever her name in the movie is, where she didn't just like mask comes off and she's like, you look beautiful to me. She immediately was like, ooh. After a couple of drinks and a little bit of adjustment period, it's a face that I'd love to sit on. Which isn't like, that's very generous on how someone would react. Most people would be like exactly like Weasel reacted, which is like, whew, you are hard to look at. Man, my god.
Yeah, god, that's gotta suck to like have to like have that prosthetic on or whatever
you want to call it. The makeup was pretty good. I thought and on my second rewatch I didn't realize how much of his like burned nude body was in frame when he fought, when he first was escaping the facility, like...
Oh, yeah, he dick
his
flops.
Peen was flopping around.
Yeah.
Full now frontal. You wonder, was that prosthetics or was that him?
Really gotta know. Check the forums for that one.
Yeah, I'll get some screenshots and do some investigating. No, I had fun on the second rewatch. I'm glad we chose this as a way to come back before Deadpool 2. Definitely still holds up, like you said. A little bit weaker on the immature jokes, but still a really, really solid film, and unlike any other entry in the superhero genre that we've ever seen.
What would you grade it on this rewatch?
Ooh, good question. God, I feel like we give everything A's. I know. But, I'm going to go A-. It's a blast.
A-. As well.
There's some CG issues, but you can't really blame the budget with that. It's a little crazy with the storytelling, but gosh, it was just a breath of fresh air.
Yeah. Totally.
Keeping with the immature jokes.
Yeah. Low hanging fruit. Gotta grab it. So obviously we're pretty high on the original, which made it a little bit troubling for some of the news when Deadpool 2 came about. Tim Miller was obviously on board to direct, and Ryan Reynolds was taking a little bit more of a role. I believe he actually is getting like a co-writing credit for
this
script.
He earned it, man.
And he's also like the main producer on the film, and they had some sort of creative differences, I guess.
Do we know what happened?
At some point, I heard that it was budget related, and I don't remember which person was on which side.
Like, he wanted more and Ryan Reynolds was like, no, we're fine? Or
I think
Fox wanted...
Yeah, I think no. Either the director or Reynolds wanted to have more money and make it a bigger scope. And then the other said, like, no, the reason it worked so well the first time is because it was much more, like, a personal and, like, smaller kind of thing.
Okay.
And so I don't remember which person was. It feels like the person that does CGI would probably want the bigger budget, but I don't know. So that kind of hurts in my mind. But then David Leitch came on, co-director of John Wick.
Let's go.
Director of Atomic Blonde with Charlize. So outstanding action director.
At the very least, we're going to have some kick-ass fight scenes.
Pumped for that. There was some other stuff, Domino, the girl that's playing Domino, Zazie Beetz. First off, great name. She's in Atlanta. Great show. People were not a fan of what she looked like when they first released the first promo and image of her.
What she looks like, and also isn't... What is her power? Luck?
Luck, yeah.
Okay. They joke about that in the trailer. Luck's not a power.
did they make a Domino movie with Keira Knightley? I think they did. Like,
no.
10 years
ago. No.
Are you ready
she
for
was
this?
Casted
nope.
for it at one point.
Here we go. Domino, 2005.
But it's not a superhero movie.
Oh, is it not?
No.
It's so weird because she's like supposed to be... She's like an assassin in this.
No, she's just a bounty hunter. Fuck. Yeah, you're about half right there.
Yeah, that was close.
Good cast.
Thought I had it.
Metascore 36.
But then Pictures of Cable came out. People were pretty pumped about Cable.
Let's talk about Josh Brolin being both Cable and Thanos.
Yeah,
kind of weird, but
a little bit,
separate.
A little bit.
Pretty much separate universes.
Yeah. I think people wanted Stephen Lang, the
yes,
bad guy from
I
Avatar,
really
to be
did.
Him.
Mm-hmm. He just looks just like him from the comics, but I think Josh Brolin looks good.
Yeah. I just think Josh Brolin... I don't know. There's something about Stephen Lang that I just feel like he wouldn't be funny at all or be able to like endorse humor at all. And I don't know what... Maybe that's just his previous roles are doing that to me.
The generic... hard marine.
Yeah.
Like he's the same character in Avatar and a canceled Fox show about dinosaurs. You are on
Terra
Pandora.
Nova.
You are on Terra Nova. Assume everything here is out to eat you.
pretty good impression. Killing the impressions lately.
I gotta come up with more. So the X-Force film, that is, I don't know the story of the comics, like, is that just a spinoff of X-Men, or do we see him joining the X-Men, are there rumors about that?
So, X-Force is, yeah, I think it's some sort of spinoff of the X-Men. I think it's, like, whatever, obviously lesser-known heroes,
like
and I think, like, more of, like, the bad hero, or, like, not as good heroes, like, some sort of suicide squad.
Some sort of suicide squad. He said the title.
God damn it. Don't know how that's going to work into when Disney takes over for Fox or outright buys Fox. Bob Iger, the Disney CEO, has said, like, we want to keep making Deadpool movies. We want to, like, integrate Deadpool into the X-Men somehow, I guess. And he said that we'll keep making R-rated Deadpool movies as long as we give the audience ample warning. And it's like, all right, bro.
You know
you're just
what
giving yourself
warning
an out.
Is? Like, is a rating. Like,
yeah. Also, it's Deadpool. By the time you get Deadpool, you're going to have two movies to back it up where people know
that
what Deadpool
made a
is.
Ton of money. Yeah.
As long as you're not plastering like the Disney logo on it, why don't you just let Fox just continue making it while you just reap the rewards? Like, I don't...
Yeah. It'll be fine.
That's stupid. I think it would be fun to have him cross over in the X-Men, but if it's not an R-rated movie, I don't know how that would work.
Yeah.
Quite... honestly. There's also Ryan Reynolds says he's not really sure if Deadpool 3 is going to happen, but I think that's mainly because of the Disney merger. But he has stated, and as have the writers, they said that Deadpool 3 wouldn't be an X-Force movie. They were originally saying that X-Force would be like the next continuation of Deadpool, but they would rather have just X-Force be like a bigger movie, which they're introducing in Deadpool 2, and then have Deadpool 3 stay like the smaller size movie.
I like it.
Yeah.
I like it.
So it's nice that they have like the right minds behind it. It's nice that Ryan Reynolds is just clearly loves it and like.
Did I trust Ryan Reynolds with like anything? I've never seen him in a bad thing, I don't think. I'm sure if I went through his IMDb, I would find one, but he's great.
Yeah, he is.
I guess Green Lantern. But.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, no, I mean, he tends to make pretty good choices. He's actually getting another sequel, that Hitman's Bodyguard movie with him and Sam Jackson, which was terrible.
Actually, whatever, that movie was fine.
That's actually getting a sequel.
What about this this Deadpool cartoon that leaked? We talked about it a little bit, but do you know what happened there?
With what? I'm sorry.
The Deadpool cartoon with Donald Glover?
Oh, yes.
Donald? Yeah. Childish Gambins?
yeah, so Donald Glover, hot commodity in Hollywood last year, FX had brought him on to run this animated Deadpool show and like write and produce it. And basically he worked on it for like 6 months with like a writer's room that I think was a lot of people that were from like his Atlanta writer's room and stuff. And so they were like trying to infuse a little bit more of like cultural awareness to some of the jokes. And it came out, I believe, what was this, like early March, that that basically Donald Glover had left. They had parted ways because of creative differences, is what what FX said. And like 2 days later, Donald Glover dropped a 15-page script for called like the Deadpool finale, and basically it was like filled with references, like very current topical references.
Facebook.
So he clearly had just written it, and it was basically just all about how like FX misunderstood what they were getting into with him, even though like FX is they gave him Atlanta, and like they knew that he lied to them about what Atlanta was going to be, and then he turned it into a great show anyways. Is like, you think that they would just let him run with it? Yeah. They're probably really kicking themselves now after he just hosted SNL and killed it, and then dropped the This Is America music video,
which I just watched today and was like, wow.
Yes. Yeah.
That's a message.
Yeah, which is an intense video. And, like, I just don't know why you would be like, we're not gonna go with this, Donald.
Yeah, it's like one of the best current hot creative minds in Hollywood right now.
Like, you hired him for a reason. Just let him do what he was gonna do. Yeah. So, I don't know.
The animation looked good, too. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you ever watched the test footage, but it looked really cool. It's a shame, but at least we got Reynolds as Deadpool.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Question for you. Would Deadpool work if he came into Avengers? Or do you think his tone doesn't fit with the fourth wall breaking? Some people really, really want him in Avengers, and I do not.
I don't think so. I think Deadpool only works in a movie that is centered around him.
Yeah. He's not a team player.
No, he's definitely not. And even though the Avengers is like more lighthearted, I guess, and like comedic, the two kinds of comedy do not meld.
Right, at all. No.
And if like when I watch an Avengers movie, I want to watch an Avengers movie. I don't want to watch a Deadpool movie.
Yeah, he'd probably chew scenery, steal scenes. Mm-hmm. And can you imagine in Infinity War a third wall breaking moment?
Yeah, it would not work.
It would take away the levity of the situation. Mm-hmm. Like it just wouldn't be
exactly
good. So keep his own movie, make him spin off with X-Force, have some cameos there. We'll get enough Deadpool. Don't worry, guys.
Yeah. All right. Is that it? Is that all you want to talk about?
I think that's it.
Deadpool?
Yeah. Okay. I think so.
Cool. All right. So that was Rewatch, the first Rewatch that we've had. If you liked this, let us know, which you can do through glitchup.com/feedback, anonymous feedback. Bow, boom, boom, boom. You can help us out, glitchup.com/support, Amazon, Patreon, TeePublic, some merchandise.
All you have to do is click on a link that sends you to Amazon. You order the same stuff you always order. We get a super tiny kickback. It really helps out.
Mm-hmm.
Very
mm-hmm.
easy.
Very easy stuff. Thank you for listening. Remember to like, subscribe, comment, share, all that fun stuff. Go to glitchup.com to check out any of new writings and posts that we got up there, which admittedly have been lacking.
My bad.
We will be back. Whoa, that was a weird way to say it.
Cut.
We will be back next week with either or both.
I've never dreaded a podcast less than this Sunday when I thought we were doing Scooby-Doo and Speed Racer than now.
Next week is either going to be I Feel Pretty, the Amy Schumer movie that came out a couple weeks ago, or Life of the Party, the Melissa McCarthy movie that comes out on Friday, or both.
If we can fit them in.
If we hate ourselves enough.
Yep.
So
are you looking forward to either?
I
would probably look forward to I Feel... Wait, No, the college one more.
Yeah, Melissa McCarthy. I'm with you on that. I like Melissa McCarthy way more than Amy Schumer.
Me too. I hate Amy Schumer.
So we got that coming up next week. If you just want to hear someone talk about how they just hated what they watched,
they could be good.
Yeah,
we're going to be open to them. They could be good. We might bring on a guest too. So
yep. We'll see. All right. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next week.
Bye.